Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into a really fundamental question about how our societies work.
Yeah, this idea of whether having big differences in income means people actually have less of a say in how their country is run.
Exactly. We'll be exploring that connection, the one between income inequality and political engagement, using some, well, fascinating research.
And for this deep dive, we're looking at a study called Political Engagement and Income Inequality, 28APR25.pdf.
Right.
Our mission today is pretty straightforward. Can we figure out if these significant income gaps, you know, prevent people in a democracy from really having their voices heard?
And importantly, we're not just looking at income alone, are we? We want to understand what else might be influencing this whole relationship.
That's the key. What else is going on?
Because it just feels kind of obvious, doesn't it? You'd think a lot of inequality would automatically be bad news for a fair democracy.
Mm-hmm. That's the common assumption.
But this research seems to suggest it's maybe not quite that simple, that there are other, perhaps more powerful forces at play.
Precisely. So the big question we're really tackling is this. Does high income inequality just automatically lead to less political engagement for everyone?
Or are there other crucial factors we really need to understand to get the, you know, the full picture?
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. The study kicks off by acknowledging something that's been, well, observed for a while in social sciences.
Right, this idea that income differences often affect political participation.
Yeah, researchers have pointed to this connection for years. People like Salt back in 2008, Uslaner and Brown, Wilkinson and Pickett, Bartels, their work suggested this link exists.
Between inequality and things like voting or getting involved in campaigns, that sort of thing.
But what's fascinating here, and where this study really adds something, is that while that link makes intuitive sense, the idea that it's a guaranteed direct consequence, the evidence isn't always that clear cut.
Okay.
And that's exactly where the study comes in. It argues there's a really important piece of the puzzle, often missing.
And that missing piece is how well a country is governed, what they're calling governance quality.
Exactly, governance quality. The study emphasizes that the quality of a country's administration, especially how well it controls corruption, significantly changes how income inequality affects political participation.
So they're saying this is a key factor we might have been overlooking.
Precisely. And when they talk about governance quality, they mean specific things, drawing on earlier work.
Like what?
They're looking at regulatory quality, how clear and fair are the rules. The rule of law, is it applied consistently? Government effectiveness, does it actually deliver services? And crucially, control of corruption. How successful are they at stopping graft and bribery? Think of it like the basic plumbing of a society.
Right. If it's leaky with corruption, then everything else might get messy regardless of other factors.
That's the idea.
So to really get into this, how did these researchers actually study it? What kind of information did they use?
Well, to get a good handle on this, they put together a consistent set of data, what they call a balanced panel.
Okay.
From 10 democratic countries. Over a pretty long period, too, 2002 to 2022.
And which countries?
It was a mix. You had established economies like Australia, Germany, Japan, the UK, the US, and also developing economies like Brazil, India, Indonesia, Mexico, and South Africa. So a good spread for comparison.
Okay, yeah, a really diverse group. And what specifically were they measuring to understand political voice? How much, say, people felt they had?
Their main outcome measure for this was something called voice and accountability.
From the Worldwide Governance Indicators.
That's the one. Essentially, it's trying to capture things like how free people are to express opinions, join groups, and participate in choosing their government.
So much broader than just voting them.
Oh, yeah. It's about that overall feeling of having a stake, a voice in how things are run.
Right. And what were the main things they looked at to see what influences this voice and accountability?
They examined several key predictors. The Gini index from the previous year. That's the standard measure for income inequality.
Higher number means more inequality.
Correct. They also looked at extreme poverty, the headcount below $2.15 a day, economic growth, so GDP per capita growth, and those five governance metrics we just mentioned.
Okay, so they've got the countries, the time frame, the measures for voice, and the potential influences like inequality, poverty, growth, and governance. What was the big discovery? What really stood out?
The study's most significant finding really hammered home the power of good governance.
How so?
They found that the ability to control corruption was the strongest positive influence on democratic voice.
Wow, okay. Stronger than other factors.
Yes. And interestingly, when they looked at inequality and poverty in isolation, without considering these governance factors in their main model, they weren't statistically significant predictors of voice and accountability.
Hold on, that's a real surprise, isn't it? So just having lots of inequality or poverty didn't automatically mean less political voice in their main analysis?
Not in that overall model, no. But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They then decided to split the sample. They looked at the developed economies separately from the developing ones.
And that revealed different patterns.
Big time. In the developed countries, they saw something quite unexpected.
Go on.
While inequality might lean toward having a negative impact, that effect was basically neutralized, or maybe even slightly reversed, in countries where corruption was very well controlled.
Reversed. So more inequality could potentially mean more voice if corruption is low.
Well, the coefficient was positive, yeah. Coefficient plus 0.028. Mm-hmm. Yeah, statistically significant. It suggests that in wealthier nations with clean governments, higher inequality didn't necessarily crush people's sense of political voice. It's a surprising twist.
Wow, that is definitely not the standard narrative. So clean government in rich countries can kind of shield the political voice aspect from inequality's effects.
That seems to be what the data suggests for those countries.
Okay, what about the developing countries? Was it the same story?
Not quite. There, the dynamic was different. Inequality on its own didn't seem that harmful to political voice until corruption levels started to climb.
Ah, so corruption is the trigger there.
It seems to act like an amplifier. When corruption was high, then higher inequality significantly reduced voice and accountability. The coefficient was negative, near 0.020, and borderline significant.
So in developing economies, it's like corruption unlocks the negative potential of inequality for democracy.
That's a good way to put it. Corruption acts like a multiplier, making inequality much more toxic for political voice in those contexts.
So that's a crucial difference. So in wealthier countries, tackling corruption might make the system more resilient to inequality's political effects. But in developing countries, corruption makes inequality far more damaging to participation.
It really underscores how much the specific national context matters. You can't just apply one rule everywhere.
Makes sense. Now, you mentioned something about what happens when they statistically accounted for those institutional factors across all the countries?
Oh, yeah, they did run that analysis, too.
What did that show?
When they statistically held constant, those institutional factors, basically leveling the playing field in the model, they did find a modest, universal negative effect of inequality on political voice.
Okay, so underneath it all, there might still be a general negative link.
But those institutional factors, especially corruption control, are hugely important in modifying, buffering, or amplifying that underlying relationship in the real world.
Right. Okay, so let's connect this back to the listener. Why should you care about this distinction between inequality itself and how well your country is governed?
Well, the core message here, I think, is that inequality's impact on democracy isn't set in stone. It's not automatic.
It depends heavily on the integrity of the institutions.
Exactly. Mm. Especially how honest they are.
Mm.
So policies that only focus on, say, redistributing income might not fully boost democratic engagement if you're not also tackling the fundamental governance issues.
Particularly corruption.
So the headline for you is maybe. Inequality doesn't automatically silence people. A corrupt system often does, and it makes inequality worse for democracy.
That makes a lot of sense. You can shift money around, but if the system feels rigged or untrustworthy, people might still check out politically. So what kind of concrete steps can countries take? What actions improve governance and protect participation, even if inequality remains?
The study points to several practical things. Obviously, seriously combating graft and bribery. That's essential.
Right.
Also, professionalizing the public administration, making it more efficient, more merit-based, less prone to political meddling or corruption.
Okay. Anything else?
And they also highlight the potential for expanding digital channels for citizens to give feedback and interact with government. They mention Urvote as just one example of that kind of platform.
Interesting. So technology could play a role, but it sounds like it needs that foundation of good governance to be truly effective.
Absolutely. And it raises other issues, too, which we can touch on. But first, what happens if countries don't address these governance issues, especially when inequality is high?
Yeah. What's the risk there?
The study warns about a really worrying, corrosive feedback loop.
Sounds bad.
It is. Especially in developing democracies, they suggest, if you have high, unchecked inequality plus weak, corrupt institutions, It can lead to both the economic gaps getting wider and political engagement declining. People just lose faith, lose voice.
And that probably weakens institutions even further, right?
Exactly.
So
it becomes a downward spiral. Widening inequality erodes political voice, which makes it harder to fix the institutions, which allows inequality to potentially worsen.
Mm-hmm.
A real vicious cycle.
That paints a pretty stark picture. The study also connects this to broader ideas from other research, doesn't it?
Right.
About how inequality impacts trust and people's sense of agency.
Absolutely. They reference work, showing how high inequality can lead to social alienation, people feeling like their participation doesn't matter. That's political efficacy. And it can just erode trust. Trust in other people, trust in government.
Yeah, I can see that.
And they also note the basic reality of extreme poverty. How it simply limits people's capacity to even think about engaging politically
mm-hmm.
when survival is the main focus. That's well documented.
And they circled back to those digital platforms like Urvote. You mentioned potential downsides.
Yes, they acknowledge the potential benefits, lowering barriers to participation, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But they stress it's not a magic fix. For these tools to work well and fairly, you need stable regulations, you need widespread internet access, good cybersecurity, and crucially, people need the digital literacy to actually use them effectively.
Right. And there are concerns about privacy and manipulation, too, I imagine.
Big concerns. They reference important work on data privacy, surveillance, the potential for misinformation online. So technology offers possibilities, but the underlying social and institutional context is still paramount.
It really sounds like a thorough piece of research, and commendably, they're upfront about the complexities and limitations, right?
They are. They mention challenges with data consistency across countries and time. They note that some governance metrics are pretty closely related, making it tricky to isolate the exact effect of just one.
Multicollinearity, is that the term?
That kind of issue, yes. And the classic challenge in social science, pinning down cause and effect. Does inequality reduce voice, or does a lack of voice allow inequality to grow? It's likely a two-way street.
A complex web, for sure. Okay, so let's try and synthesize this. Let's bring it all together for our listeners. What's the single most important insight you want them to take away from this deep dive?
I think the key takeaway is this. Income inequality is a major issue, no doubt, but its negative impact on political voice isn't automatic. It's not inevitable.
It's conditioned by something else.
Exactly. The strength and, critically, the integrity of a country's institutions, especially its ability to control corruption, act as a massive buffer, or, sadly, as a powerful amplifier of inequality's negative political effects.
So focusing only on economic redistribution might not be enough to strengthen democracy if the governance structures themselves are weak or corrupt.
That's the implication. The study strongly suggests that overlooking governance reforms, particularly fighting corruption, means your efforts to boost democratic participation just by tackling income gaps are likely to be less effective than you hope.
That definitely gives us and you, the listener, a lot to think about. So here's a question for you to mull over. What is the right balance between those economic policies aimed at inequality and the institutional reforms focused on integrity and good governance?
Yeah, and what does this research suggest about the priorities for strengthening civic engagement where you are? Does it look different in different types of economies?
We'd encourage you to maybe explore this concept of governance quality a bit more. You could look up those worldwide governance indicators, for instance.
And just consider how issues like corruption might be playing out, how they might be influencing political life and engagement in your own community, your country, or even globally.
It really seems clear that building more resilient, more representative democracies, especially when facing significant economic divides, requires us to really understand this interplay. The interplay between economics and the fundamental integrity of our governing institutions.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.